Okay. Welcome everyone to the news man. We'll be learning Maseches Gittin. The Maseches Gittin begins very interestingly. As you might have noticed, unlike Maseches Kiddushin, which starts with Kiddushin, Maseches Gittin does not start with the basic halachas of Gittin. Does not start with how to write a get. For that, we have to wait till the second perek. Does not start for when you should get divorced and when you shouldn't. That's the very, very last daf in the Masechet. Starts with the Tekana D'Rabban. Right, maybe get Medidas Hayom, Sarach Shiyom, or B'fanei Nechtav, U B'fanei Nechtam. Right, this is clearly Tekana D'Rabbanan. That's very clear throughout the perek. If you bring a get from overseas, you have to say B'fanei Nechtav, U B'fanei Nechtam. Okay, Medinas Hayam is an interesting lashon. You know, why do you say Medinas Hayam, not Chutz Laretz? So Rashi implies, well, because it's only from, you know, the boondocks, not from Bavel, right? It's only from, you know, the out of town, as we say in New York. You know, it's only from out of town, not from everything in Chutz Laretz. And Tosa says, based on the Mahalach of the Mishnah, that according to Tanakhama, it's only from places far away from Israel, not places close to Israel. But in any case, Midrabani, you have to say, the shliach has to say, he saw it being written and signed. Why is this? So we'll spend a lot of time in the Gemara, Machlokas, Rava and Rava, and figure out exactly what the Rashidas are in the end. But the two basic theories are, which is the first line of the Gemara, either Lefishen became the Shmaks and Chutz Laretz, they don't know Torah well, and they don't know how to write L'shma, so he has to testify that it was written L'shma, or the Fishein Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, nothing to do with not denigrating the Nei Chutz Laretz, just that when it's from very far away, if there ever becomes a question whether this get is authentic or forged, it will be very hard to find anyone who recognizes the signatures to authenticate this get. And therefore, they asked the shliach to authenticate the get, because after all, he saw that it was signed, that it wasn't forged, and that will be good enough. Okay, all the details are not what we're getting into yet, but will be very soon. In the beginning, we have a three-way machlokas. Even before we get to that. So many of the mafarshim wonder why Maseches Gittin starts with this real side point of a Takana D'Rabbanan and not with the basic idea of a get. The Ramban and a few other Rishonim suggest, based on a concept we find a few places in Shas, that a Takana D'Rabbanan is more chaviv than the Din D'Oraisa. You know, get is a Din D'Oraisa, this is only later Takana D'Rabbanan. We would think, first, teach us the important things and then the side points. But no, there's a certain chavivos to the chiddush of the idea that Rabbanan make a Takana. Even though obviously whatever Hashem said in the Torah is on a certain level more important than the takanas the Rabbanan make because of specific historical circumstances, but nonetheless, there's a special chavivos to the fact that the chachamim have the power and responsibility to know how to adapt the halacha to different circumstances and make zeros, etc. And therefore, we put the side point to kind of Rabbanan before the main din d'oraisa. That is the Ramban's explanation. The Sam Sofer here, it's a very famous Sam Sofer, has a philosophical explanation. He says there's a concept that you never want to start with something bad. Right? Atchulu b'vornita lo... you don't want to start with something bad. We have this concept, for example, the Baal HaMor says, how does Maseches Psachim start? Or Larba Asar. Very confusing. Anyone ever learned Psachim? They are very confused. Why does it mean the night if it's called Or, etc.? And the Baal HaMor says, why didn't just say Leil Larba Asar? He says, no, because you never want to start with a negative word. You always want to start with something positive. Right, or b'moshvasam, we know, okay, not our Masechet this year. You always want to start with something positive. So here also, you don't want to start with something negative, but all of Gittin is negative, because it's very sad when people get divorced. Okay, maybe if we get to the very last half, we'll see. Sometimes it's the Mizbeach cries, sometimes only the people cry. But it's very sad when people get divorced, right? And lots of things made up, people get married with all the idealism and love, and then hate each other and break up. So, basically, you can't start with Sefer's Gittin because you're always starting something negative. Says, no, we found a, the Chassam Sofer says, we found a positive point. Maybe there's a guy, he's a Medina Siam, he's stuck in Chutz Laretz, keep in mind, right? No modern transportation in those days. Guy could be stuck in Chutz Laretz for a long time. Who knows why he's stuck in Chutz Laretz? You know, there could be various reasons why he's stuck in Chutz Laretz, which might be circumstances beyond his control. And his wife, he left his wife in Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to be a nice guy. He doesn't want to be ma'agin her. Maybe she wants to move on with her life. So out of niceness and caring and being a nice fellow, he sends her a get. So if she wants, she could wait for him to come back. And if she wants, she can move on with her life and she won't be naguna. And therefore, he's doing this out of proper midos and not out of any negative feelings between them. And that's the only way you could start the masechta with the sholeach get, maybe get Medina Sayam, someone who's divorcing his wife out of being out of niceness and not out of animosity. Okay, I think it's a very nice drush of the Chassam Sofer. It might be possible that perhaps we can give more of a lumdish explanation as to why we start on such a seemingly unimportant point. But I don't think we're ready to give such an explanation until we learn a little more in the Gemara, so we'll have to come back to that in a couple of weeks. For now, we'll suffice with the Ramban and the Chassam Sofer. Now let's go on. Yes?
One of the other masechtas that do start, do this, Yivamos. Yivamos doesn't change anything. Still starting with Brunos, not doing a nicer thing about Yivamos.
Okay. That is a good question. I mean, Yivamos also, Gittin, starts with some very peculiar detail, right? Instead of starting with Yibam, it starts with the Chamesh String Nashim, etc. All right, that's a good question. But I don't think it's a Pirch on the Chassam Sofer, meaning his common sense is good enough that you should start with something good. So that just means you'll need some explanation for Yivamos that we haven't thought of now because we're not learning Yivamos.
If I go locally, then we still were doing Gittin, then Kiddushin. Wasn't the Ramban's crux was that we're following Kiddushin?
We
were firing from Mishnah, but then yes, we're starting from Gittin, then Kiddushin. We're starting with
the
Masechta
of Brunos,
and then
going. Okay, but there could be technical reasons for that, such as the pasuk, right? The pasuk of Yatzim base of a Holcha v'Haisa l'Ishacher, the only pasuk that mentioned them both in the same pasuk, has Gittin first, or maybe the Rambam actually had Gittin before Kiddushin. Although that's not most. And that's not most Rishonis Besorah. Okay, I'll leave that as Akasha. Worst comes to worst, you could always say you're doing Akasha and Drush. But we'll leave that as Akasha. Okay, so continuing, the Gemara later on explains what Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer are saying. The Tanakhama says, Tosas read is very nice, only if you bring it from far away. Rav Gamliel says, Af meivin arekim in a cheger, even if you bring it from towns close to Israel. Rav Eliezer, Omer afilim kfar ludim lulud, even if you bring it from kfar ludim to lud, which is what's called muvlos. Which, according to many Rishonim, means even if you bring it from a town that's within a sort of nook created by the border that's really surrounded by Eretz Yisrael, nonetheless, you still say Fonei Nechta, Fonei Nechta. Okay, and we'll come back to that. V'achacham Romerim, and this matches the Tanakhama. Good enough for our purposes until the Gemara explains later. Einot Tzar Shomer Fonei Nechta, Fonei Nechta, Ela Meivin Dinas Hayam V'amolech. Okay, they say, no, only if you bring it from Medina Sayam. And the Gemara will go through these lines a little later. Va'amolech, or if you bring from Israel to Medina Sayam, which again we'll discuss in the Gemara, Va'amevim Medina Sayam, or if you bring from one foreign country to another country, Toshi Yom Fanei Nechtam, Fanei Nechtam. Rashbag, Omer Filim Egmonia, Legmonia, even within one area, even within one town, from one sovereignty to another sovereignty. Okay, and all of this we'll come back to in the Gemara at great length. From Yehuda Omer, may Rechem Lemizrach or Rechem Lemizrach. Yehuda is giving you the borders of Eretz Yisrael. From Rechem and eastwards is Chutz Laretz. That's where if you bring it from, you have to say, Fanayachtam. And Rechem counts as Chutz Laretz. May Ashkelon, the door, may Ashkelon, from Ashkelon and south is Chutz Laretz, and Ashkelon counts as south. May Akko, Litzafon, Ba'akko, Kitzafon, and Akko, and north counts as Chutz Laretz, and is Chutz Laretz, and Akko itself is like Chutz Laretz. Rav Meir disagrees, and we'll get to this in the more. Also, Akko, Keretz Yisrael, Le Gittin. Okay, let's. That's good enough for now. This is actually, in many Rishonim, this is actually the end of the Mishnah, and the rest of the Mishnah was later in the set. It was later in the Parak and Daftes. So, what the most fascinating aspect of this Mishnah, for now at least, is the borders of Eretz Yisrael. right? Rabbi Yehuda's giving clear borders here of Eretz Yisrael, right? Rechem, Ashkelon, and Akko. And the problem which all the Rishonim have is that it doesn't match what it says in the Tanakh, right? In the Tanakh, they point out, Tulsa already starts, the Ashkelon, Eretz Yisrael, he says very clearly that Ashkelon was divvied up among the Shvatim and Eretz Yisrael and was even conquered by the Shvatim, was part of Eretz Yisrael. Akko also, the Rishonim point out, is among the towns in Sefer Yoshua that are part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Rechem is a little unclear because there were probably many Rechems. So we're not, you know, you can't clearly ask Akasha as to whether it was from Eretz Yisrael or not. But certainly Ashkelon is the biggest problem. It's clearly from Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, what do you do? What do you do with this? So there was one possible answer the Ran started out with. And he said, maybe there are two Ashkelons. Okay, there are two Ashkelons. He had earlier said there are at least three Rechems. Okay, maybe there's an Ashkelon that's in Eretz Yisrael, and this Ashkelon is in Chutz Laaretz. It means maybe you can say there's no stira between. There's no stira between the Tanakh and Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah. Mm. Yeah, the Tanakh says all these cities are in Israel, but there's another one that's referred to in our Mishnah that is outside of Israel. However, most of the Rishonim did not go that way. So let's put that on the side to come back to it. Most of the Rishonim, I think, follow the derech of Rabbi Tam. What does Rabbi Tam point out? Rabbi Tam points out that there are many places in Shas, perhaps you've encountered it, there are two sets of borders of Eretz Yisrael. There are the Gvulos of Ole Mitzrayim, what's often called Kedusha Rishona, and there are the borders of Ole Bavel, Ole Mitzrayim, those who came up, made Aliyah from Mitzrayim, meaning Yoshua ben Nun and on, in the days of the Shoftim, etc., versus Ole Bavel, those who came up in the time of Shivat Zion, from Bavel, Ezra, and on. And it is very, very clear in many places that Ole Bavel, the Israel of Ole Bavel, was much smaller than the Israel of Ole Mitzrayim, meaning the Bayit Sheni Israel was much smaller than the Bayit Rishon, the Israel of the Nevi'im Rishonim. And says Rabbeinu Tam, he brings many sugyos and shas, that that Ole Bavel's had a smaller Eretz Yisrael, and our mission is describing the Eretz Yisrael of Ole Bavel. Yeah, Ashkelon was part of Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ole Mitzrayim, in the days of Ole Bavel. Ashkelon was part of Chutz Laaretz, and Akko was at least partially part of Chutz Laaretz, and Rechem was part of Chutz Laaretz. Okay, there may have to be multiple Rechems. That's the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, and many, many other Rishonim. That's Shita of the Ran, seems to be the main Shita of the Ramban, and most Rishonim. So let's Rabbeinu Tam, and I think most Rishonim say that the Gvulos of our Mishnah are Gvulos Ole Bavel. Okay, why would this Takana depend on the borders of Ole Bavel and not the borders of Ole Mitzrayim? Okay, that should, I mean, besides the fact that which borders are actually Kadosh, Ole Mitzrayim or Ole Bavel? Ole Bavel, because the Gemara says in a few places, it's machlokas, but almost everyone passed like this. They had the Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha L'Shata, V'Lokacha L'Asub Lavo. The first Kedusha was not permanent. Kedusha Shnei, Kedusha L'Shata, V'Kedusha L'Asub Lavo. Second Kedusha was permanent, so the Kedusha of Ole Mitzrayim that lapsed at the time of Korban Bayit Rishon, the Kedusha of Ole Bavel last. So the real Eretz Yisrael is the Kedusha of Ole Bavel, but even more importantly, you know, there's not really such an inyan of Kedusha. Right? It's not the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. What is it? It is the culture of Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's the community of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Remember, what are the two factors? Either it's whether they know enough Torah to know Lishma or not. Okay? So, in the Iker community, they know the Torah. In the Boondocks, they don't. Or whether it's easy to find witnesses to authenticate the signatures. Right? It's called Kiyam Shtaros. which has to do with the Iker community. The Iker community, the time of this takana, wasn't made by Bais Rishon. This takana was made maybe after Bais Sheni, right? After the time of Bais Sheni. And where did the Jews live in those days? They lived in the borders of Olei Bavel. So then that makes a lot of sense. Rabbi Nutam has problem he then asks on himself. Well, there's a number of issues. We're not going to go all the way. He says, what about? He says, according to this, what do you do with Akko? Right? According to this, Akko is outside the Gvulot of Olei Bavel. And, but he quotes in the Gemara in the end of Ketubot, right? We all remember the Gemara at the end of Ketubot. The Gemara is about living in Eretz Yisrael, how important it is to live in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Abba would kiss the stones of Akko. So that shows Akko is Kadosh. And not only that, in Gittin, in our very Masechet, in Daf Ayin Vav, they prove that Akko was Eretz Yisrael because when the rabbis from Israel accompanied the rabbis from Chutz Laaretz, who were going to Chutz Laaretz, they would stop at Akko because they didn't want to leave Eretz Yisrael. So that shows that Akko was Eretz Yisrael. So how come here it says Akko and Chutz Laaretz? And we see that Akko was Eretz Yisrael in Gittin Daf Ayin Vav and in Ksubas Daf Kof Yudbet. And what's Rabbeinu Tam's answer? Half and half. Akko is half and half. Where does he get that from? He doesn't make it up from no place. It's pretty unfortunate you show me that Akko is half and half. Okay, so here's one of the definitely most interesting problems. Problem is you then have a stira, which says that Gittin Daf Beis says Akko is Chutz Laaretz, but Gittin Daf Ayin Vav on the Beis and Ksubos Daf Kuf Yud Beis on the Beis, Kuf Yud Beis on Aleph, sorry, say Akko is Eretz Yisrael. A little equals here. And Tom's answer is, oh, we all like the Rishonim. He doesn't say this in the Bavli, right? He doesn't put any Bavli like this. The Bavli doesn't always agree. But okay, he says, not unreasonable to think the Bavli agrees with the Rishonim, that Akko happens to be half and half, half Eretz Yisrael, half Chutz Laaretz. And therefore, the Mishnah was referring to the half that's in Chutz Laaretz. That's Ketzafon. And these other two Gemaras are referring to the half that's in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, however, suggests a different answer. The Ramban suggests a different answer. What does the Ramban suggest to answer the steer in terms of Akko? And then he also quotes Rabbeinu Tam, because he quotes the Yishalmi. The Ramban does suggest a different answer. Right. Should have Ramban here. Suggests the Ramban. He doesn't quote Rabbeinu Tam by name. He just says he has the Kasha. That what do you mean? Ashkelon is in Israel, and Akko is in Israel, and he says, and if you'll say, okay, but it wasn't in the Gvulot of Olei Bavel, what about Rabbi Abba kissing the stones of Akko? Right. So he says, maybe you could say that Rabbi Abba held the Kedusha Rishona lasted forever, and therefore it was in the Gvulot of Olei Mitzrayim. Or he says, he says something fascinating. He says, Taka, it's not Kadosh. Right? And then he says, V'yesh omrim, half and half. But what does Ramban say in his... let's see. Here's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Alpi Yerushalmi. He says, this is the northern half. And this is the southern half of Akko. No problem. Ramban suggests two other opinions. What are his two opinions? Says the Ramban. He says that there's no stira. He says that it is Kichutz Laaretz. And then this thing also, it's Kichutz Laaretz Lehalacha. But Rabbi Abba held that Kedusha Rishona is La'asad Mavo. Maybe Rabbi Abba, who kissed the stones of Akko, he doesn't really directly to get into Vayin Vav, maybe he could say the same thing. Rabbi Abba, who kissed the stones of Akko, he held that the Kedusha Rishona is forever, and therefore was in the borders of Olei Mitzrayim. But we, Paskin, that it's not kadosh because it's not within the borders of olei vayel. Meaning, right, it's outside of olei vayel, but in the gvulos of olei Mitzrayim. And who cares about the gvulos of olei Mitzrayim? Rabbi Abba did. See how the kedusha rishonim lasted forever. His second explanation is already perhaps more obvious. So, Ramban, in his second answer, here's his first answer, here's the second answer, he suggests that, no, it is totally outside the gvulot of olei vayel. It does not have kedusha d'aretz, right? He says, no, it is kechutz la'aretz. It is kechutz la'aretz. Le'enyen mitzvos v'dine. Meaning it's outside of the borders of olei vayel, right? It says, no, that's what he says. Linyan trumos v'maisros. It is not kadosh. Linyan get. It's not a place where they have a good system for teaching Torah and knowing how to authenticate shtaros. However, as far as kissing it, here he suggests, but afal pi she'eino kadosh l'inyan trumos u'maisros, even though it's not kadosh for trumos u'maisros, he says nonetheless still b'chibasa hi omedes u'fkidushasa l'inyan shivasa v'dirasa. It's still kadosh in terms of living there and in terms of chiba. Right? Afi she'eino kadosh l'inyan trumos u'maisros. Let's say this. Let me even say this a little better. First answer says it's outside the gvulos of olei vayel. It's not kadosh, but Rabbi Abba Savar, Dikdusha Rishona, Kidsha Le'asid Lavo. And let's say, what's the second answer? Right? If it's outside the gvulos of olei vayel, it can't be kadosh. That's right? Outside the gvulos of olei vayel is not kadosh. That's why, for example, you know, there are places in Israel nowadays, right, where we don't worry about the Shemitah, right? We get from the Arabah, etc., because it's outside the gvulos of olei vayel. Here he says, Eino kadosh le'inyan trumos u'maisros, I would add, etc., but le'inyan yeshivasa v'dirasa v'chibasa. Here already, why is this important? You saw in the Ramban. Ravina Tam says, we have a stira. If Akko is outside Gvulos Olei Vayel, it's not kadosh. If it's not kadosh, then why do we want to stay there? And why do we love it so much that we don't want to leave it? Right? And we want to, and Rabbi kiss the ground. The answer Ravina Tam says, you're right. If it's not kadosh, there is nothing special about it. That must be the other half. Ravina Tam's response first says, you're right. If it's not kadosh, there's nothing special about it. Why did Rabbi Abba kiss it? He must hold a different shita than it is kadosh. The Rambam Ramban's second answer, where already gives you so. It's not kadosh for some things, but it could be kadosh for other things. It's not kadosh for the mitzvos, right? If it's outside the gvulos of olei vayel, Ezra wasn't a kadosh, you don't have to keep trumas or maisos, etc. But that doesn't mean it's Japan. It's still Israel. After all, what would he say? In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, was Eretz Yisrael kadosh yet? Did the Jews come in and Mekadosh it? No. Was there a mitzvah of Trumas or Maestros in the day of Moshe Rabbeinu? Only started 14 years after he died, right? Was there a mitzvah of Challah, of anything in the day of Moshe Rabbeinu? No. Yet did Moshe Rabbeinu plead, right? What's the gematria? 454 times with Hashem Yisbarach to be able to go in, right? Ebra Navi Aretz. Of course he loved Eretz Yisrael. Of course he wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. But it wasn't Kadosh. There's Kedusha to do the mitzvahs, and then there's being the land that we love and want to live there. Right? As a matter of fact, there's a mitzvah to go conquer Eretz Yisrael and live there. That mitzvah only applies when it's not Kodesh yet, right? When you don't live there yet. Okay, there's a mitzvah to go there, right? There's a mitzvah on the Jews in the desert to go into Eretz Yisrael.
But isn't he saying this only because there was a Kedusha Rishona? If there wouldn't have been a Kedusha Rishona...
No, he doesn't necessarily say anything of that sort. He didn't say that. Maybe other people do. He didn't. Okay, but you're right. I'm expanding him in a way that maybe there'd be another option. All I'm saying is that in the Ramban, we already see that just because Eretz Yisrael is not Kadosh doesn't necessarily mean that there's nothing special about it. And that, you can really see, is the difference between these pshatim. Right? Here what we're saying, according to the Ramban, if it's not Kadosh, there's nothing special about it. According to the Ramban's first answer, it's not Kadosh, nothing special. According to the Ramban's second answer, it's not Kadosh. There's no Trumas or Maestros, but there's still something special about it. What's special about it? Why do you love it so much that there's no Trumas or Maestros? Because, and here, don't accuse me of being a Zionist or anything, because we don't only love Eretz Yisrael because we can give the mitzvah of Trumas or Maestros. We love Eretz Yisrael because it's the special land that's chosen by Hashem and the land of the Shekhinah, etc. You know, and we also love doing mitzvahs. But we love Eretz Yisrael regardless of whether we get to do extra mitzvah, Trumas or Maestros there or not. And we want to live there. And there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz, right? Which the Ramban counts as Mishnah. Mitzvah we all know famously. That's the Chiddush of Ramban here, and I want to come back to that. Okay, yeah.
Thank you. Ramban uses the word Kedusha with respect to Yishuv Haaretz. How seriously?
I think he does mean something seriously. The Tashbait says, I know it's in the brackets, says there's Kedushas Mitzvos and Kedushas Shekhinah. It's the land of the Shekhinah, the special land. It's metaphysically special, and it's halachically, legally special. So I think what he means is, yeah, there's the halachic Kedusha, and then there's the metaphysical Kedusha, which also has a lach nafkaminas, like yeshiva.
Isn't Ramban saying that the kium of yeshiva Eretz Yisrael exists also there?
Yes.
The kingdom of Yeshiva Eretz related to Kedusha Eretz
Yisrael. So it's related to the other kind of Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. That's what you have to say. Okay, so let's, and we will come back to that at great length. The Rabbeinu Tam then has another few kashas. Then the Re starts attacking Rabbeinu Tam. How does the Re attack Rabbeinu Tam? He has two kashas on Rabbeinu Tam's idea that has to do with Gvulot of Oli Bavel, that the Gvulot in our Mishnah are the Gvulot of Oli Bavel. Let's find it in there. Tosfos. Ach Koshalari. Number one, and Daf Vav Amud Bet. There's a whole question where Rabbi Yehuda comes in front of Rebbe and says, Kfar Sisai is closer to Zippori. Then Akko is close. So he seems to say Kfar Sisai is closer than Akko. Okay, but according to Rabbi Tam, Akko is as close as it gets because it's half in Israel. Right? According to the Tam, Akko is half and half in Israel. So how can anything be closer than Akko? So what he must mean is that, no, because look at the Lashon. It says Kfar Sisai is closer. Give me a second. Closer to Tzipori. Kfar Sisai is closer to Tzipori than Akko is to something. What does he mean? He doesn't mean Kfar Sisai is closer to Tzipori than Akko is to Israel, because Akko's half and half. Doesn't get closer to Israel than that, right? Akko's across the street from Israel. How could anything be closer than Akko? Rather, what does it mean? Kfar Sisai is closer to Tzipori than Akko is to a big yeshiva, right? Tzipori was a big yeshiva. The Sanhedrin lived in Tzipori for a while, right? So already, Rabbi Elon, Daf Vav Amud Beis, thought that what's relevant is not what country you're in or what border you're on, but how close you are to a big yeshiva, and that's true. Akko was not so close to a big yeshiva. Yerushalayim is one of the examples they give. And Kfar Sisai is pretty close to a big yeshiva. So that's what Rabbi Elon said in Daf Vav Amud Beis. Okay, the question is, what do you make of that? You could just say, it's a statement Rabbi Elon said in Daf Vav Amud Beis that doesn't mean it's the yesod of the halacha of the Mishnah. That's just that's just a statement he made on Daf Vav Amud Beis. And here's the important part. Um, Rebbe didn't listen to him. Right? Rebbe says, oh, shtok b'ni shtok. Right? So we don't necessarily know that Rabbi Loz's statement had halachic valence, but the Reed takes Rabbi Loz's statement very seriously. He says, what is Rabbi Loz saying? He's saying, I don't care how far, what side of the border something is. I don't care whether something's close to Eretz Yisrael or not, in any set of borders. I care whether it's close to a big yeshiva or not. And based on that's based on this, the Re has another kasha on Rabbi Gutam from Daf Chet. The Gemara says that Surya is farther away than Akko. Surya is further than Akko. Now, what does this mean? Surya is lower status than Akko. Right? As they said, if you sell your Eved to Akko, he goes free. For sure, if you sell your Eved to Surya, he goes free. Now, Surya, we know, if we looked at the Rambam, Surya has an in-between halachic status. Does Surya have the status of Israel or Chutz La'aretz? The answer is in-between. The Gemara later on will say in our parak, five, six dot from now, that Surya in three ways like Eretz Yisrael, in three ways like Chutz La'aretz. Surya has half the status of Eretz Yisrael. Why? What halachic concept does it fall under? Kibush Yachid. Surya was Kibush Yachid. David HaMelech conquered Surya as Kibush Yachid. Okay, we'll have to figure out exactly what that means. Maybe it means it was personal initiative and not a national initiative. Perhaps. So the Re says it's very strange. Why is Surya worse? Why is Surya less than Akko? If Akko in our Mishnah means the north half of Akko, Akko's in Chutz La'aretz, Surya's half and half. Surya should be better than Akko, not worse than Akko. Okay, that is the Re's other question on Rabbeinu Tam, and that's used as a halakhic conclusion. Some of the Rishon. Okay, so let's just point out, what does the Re say? The Re starts with Rabbi Law. I'll get back to Daf Ches. Rabbi Law says, Farsisai is close to Tzipori, Akko is far from, what could it be far from? Far from a yeshiva. So the Re takes this Rabbi Law, Daf Ovam Beis, even though we don't postulate Rabbi Law, Daf Ovam Beis. He didn't win the day. Rebbe didn't listen to him. But he says, no, but he must have, Rebbe didn't listen to him, but he must have known what he was talking. And he says, our Mishnah is not trying to describe any borders of Eretz Yisrael. What's our Mishnah trying to describe? What's Rehu describing our Mishnah? Anyone?
Things that are close to, but
they did. The Iker HaYishuv, right? Iker Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's not describing any halachic boundaries. Because who cares about halachic boundaries here? Right? There's not a halachic, like Kedushas Eretz Yisrael Nafkamina. Oh, if it's a Haloshim Eretz Yisrael, then you don't say funny Nafta, funny Nafta. It's a Haloshim Chutzlo you do. No, this is a practical thing. Is it within the Torah culture and within a system of close connections where A, you'll place where they would have learned Hilchos Gittin, and a place where they would be very easy to authenticate signatures? So that doesn't depend on halachic status of Eretz Yisrael. That depends whether it's in the Iker Yishuv or not. So that is the Re's pshat. What does the Re say? The Re says Iker Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And what is he based on? Alpi das Rabbi La b'daf vav beis, because Rabbi La says Kfar Sisai is closer to Tzipori. And who necessarily cares about Tzipori? Don't say Tzipori means Israel, so it's closer to Israel because Akko is the closest Israel because it's across the street, right? De Kfar Sisai yoser karov l'Tzipori mi. Then Akko, Karov, Le, someplace. And again, well, how do you fill in the blank? Don't fill in Eretz Yisrael, because then Akko's closer to Eretz Yisrael. It's across the street. Farsi Sai is down the road. So rather, don't say Tzipori means Eretz Yisrael, then the sentence won't work. Right? Say it means the Iker Yishuv. Right? And I don't know if there's another way. None of the Rishonim have another way of explaining Rabbi La. We might not care what Rabbi La says. Right? But all the Rishonim admit that's what Rabbi La meant. Karov led blank and fill in the blank, right? Can't be Eretz Yisrael, because then it's across the street. Must be, right? Yeshivos v'ikar Yishuv. Okay,
someone could, you could argue all day long about the details. What's a Hirgisha? Is it yeshivas? Is it shuls? Is it a lot of Jews? Is it affiliated Jews? That's not important. You'll figure out how to be Magda in Hirgisha.
Well, it's interesting that the Rabir Tam really sounds like he's saying the same thing as the Reed, but just using Eretz Yisrael borders as like a little cloak.
Ah, okay. So I think you're absolutely right. So how does the Rabir Tam differ from the Reed then? Because the Rabir Tam says we use the borders of Olei Bavel. Why? He didn't say because Chalul Shem Kedusha, because your Chayim Chum Sarmaisos Midoraisa. Agam, you should just know. I don't want anyone to make mistakes here when they go traveling. Your chayv and shumas or maestros, like the Rambam says, even in all the borders of Oli Mitzrayim, and even in some countries in Chutzlar to the Middle East, midrabanan. I only mean midoraisa. So what's the difference between the time and the Rei? So here you have to, because the Rei Tam also said, he says, you go by the borders of Oli Bavel. Why? And he says something. Ain talmid chachamim ve'ain batei din kvuin. And the Rei says, the ikar yishov is where they're talmid chachamim batei din kvuin. So what's the difference between the Rei Tam and the Rei? So, yeah, I don't have anything. One, there's to say, either you have to say, well, the Rei said, you know, either you have to say it's a matter of legal philosophy. The Rei said, what do we care about here? We care about the Iker centers of Torah and the Iker centers of legal communication, right? So that you can authenticate signatures for Kiyum Shtaris, right? So the Rei says, you know what? If you have a new concern of like, where is the Iker Yishov, you should make yourself a new Gedra. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, I have a different legal philosophy. If you have a new concern, you should use a pre-existing geder. As a little plug, it's better not to make new gedarim. So Rabbeinu Tam says, you wonder where the Iker Yishuv is? Only Bavel. That's more or less the Iker Yishuv, because that's where people settled in the time of Bayashemi. And the Rei says, no, let's make a new geder and get the exact Iker Yishuv. So you could say they're arguing, that's probably most likely, they're arguing legal philosophy. Is it better to make a new geder for every din, or to recycle old gedarim for the sake of simplicity, which is... seems like a good machlokas. If you want to be more technical, you could say, no, they argued about quantitatively where to draw the line. In all of Olei Bavel, there was a level of Yishuv. Some places were a high level of Yishuv. So the Rei said, no, they all made the Gzeira unless there was a high level of Yishuv. And Rabbi Tam says they made the Gzeira unless there was a medium level of Yishuv. So you could just say it's quantitatively where to draw the line in the Gzeira. I agree with Isaac. More likely, they're arguing legal philosophy. Is it better to make a new geder for each thing so you'll be very exact, or better to recycle old geder, what we call a low plug, in order to have a more simplified system?
I don't have anything to base it off. Maybe it's also just a muck, which is always fun, but like, it's always, maybe it's just a muck focus of where people are. Like, where
are we talking about? Or a muck
where there is Kedusha, we'll move to Israel. We're not going to move to Israel to go.
Okay, or maybe they are, maybe the Rabbi just thought wherever there was Kedusha, there was an Iker Yishuv. Okay, could be an art, but you can always say it's muck focus of Metzias. We never liked it as much. Okay, so you could say it's machlokas and see us. You could say it's machlokas where to draw the line. Like, everyone agrees there was a denser yishuv and a medium yishuv, and then there was chutzlarts. Question is, where to draw the line in zero? Or you could say it's machlokas in legal philosophy, which, you know, is always more attractive to us, is it not? Yes. Okay, so the agav, they have another kasha there. I'll just point out the andav ches amad aleph. And here, this is the line said by the Stam Gemara and reaching a conclusion, accepted as a conclusion by the Gemara. So you can't just say, you know, we don't care about his opinion. You can't just say, that's very nice, it's his opinion, but it's not Rebbe's opinion, right? Because Rebbe didn't listen to Rebbe Lan, Rebbe wrote the Mishnah. So the other Mishnah will say, who cares what Rebbe Lan thought? No, you could say that, here, it's a conclusion of the Gemara. They say that Surya is less than Akko. How is Surya less than Akko? If Akko means the northern half is Chutzlaritz, how could Surya be less than Chutzlaritz? Right? If you're interested in Rabbeinu Tam's, Geder. So, therefore, the Rei says that proves why is Surya less than Chutzlaritz, and it's more Kedusha than Chutzlaritz, that proves we don't care about the borders of Kedusha. We care about the Iker Yishuv, and Surya is further away from the Iker Yishuv than Akko. And the Rishonim all defend Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam doesn't defend himself in Tosfos. Not that he couldn't, but, you know, whoever wrote Tosos, I guess there's on the other side, whoever wrote this Tosos. They say, no, Akko's not half in Eretz Yisrael, half in Chutzlaritz. Akko's half in Eretz Yisrael, half in Surya. And that's why Surya is less than Akko, because Surya is all in Surya. Akko is in Surya, but the other half of it's in Eretz Yisrael. So that's an interesting machlokes. The other half of Akko is Chutzlaritz or Surya, halachically. So, just to, let's put this...
It's the east or west,
what?
It's the east or west, and the ritual at the Chof was for Isha.
Ah, that is a good Ari. You're saying it's not north and south, it's east and west in Akko, because they talked about the Ritsua. The Ritsua is going to Akko, though. I don't know if the Ritsua went through Akko. You're saying historically, there's a difference between eastern and western Akko. That's an interesting point, right? Because the Jews couldn't get all the way to the Hof. Okay, could be. You know what? I'm going to leave that comment in its place. That's not our main concern. Maybe when I see north and south, it's really east and west. Okay, that's not our main point now. But says the Re, what did Akko look like? Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz. So why is Surya less than Akko? Because we don't care about Stannis. We care about closest to Iker Yishin, right? Why is Surya Gara Me'Akko? Because we only care about Rehuk Me'Iker Hayishuv, not halachic status. That is the Re's disagreement with the Rebbe and Tam. How's Rebbe and Tam going to defend himself? What all the Rishonim say, the Ramban, the Ran, everyone else says, Akko is half Eretz Yisrael and half Surya. Now we understand why Surya is less than Akko. Akko is Surya attached across the street from Eretz Yisrael. The rest of Surya is just Surya, not across the street from Eretz Yisrael. So obviously it's less, right? Surya Gara Me'Akko Ki Lishnehem Yesh Din Surya Aval Akko Chetzio Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Surya doesn't have half an Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's how we answer up all the Kashrut Rebbeinu Tam. Now that we've seen the Sheet of Rebbeinu Tam, we've seen the Sheet of the Re, we've dealt with the technical Kashas a little, I want to look at the Rambam. What does the Rambam think about our Mishnah? Yes? You think that blows this up?
I'm saying it's a question on Akko still. How can Akko be like Eretz Yisrael and Butzar at the same time?
And how can you? So the truth that you say this is the right for the Re, right? If you sell your Eved to Akko, he goes free, and from Akko to Akko, he goes free. Then what are those two things? So the Re is good. One thing is being far from Israel, and the other thing is being not having kedusha. What will Rebbeinu Tam say about that? Is what you're asking. After all, why should, if you sell your Eved, that is a good question. Okay, so I do have thoughts about that. But maybe we will leave it for now because I can't. Because I'm not 100% sure. I wonder if maybe Akko could even mean not from one half to another half, but just within Akko, because Akko has a... that's not fair. I wonder if you could have a totally different way of reading Rishalmi and say it's not half and half, but it's rather a brisker bit of shmashos. But that would be maybe too mechudish. So I'll leave that as a good question for now. I have to think about it more. Okay, now let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Gittin doesn't say anything, right? It doesn't give us any clues as to what Rabbi Yehuda is trying to describe, right? Is he trying to describe the borders of Holy Babel, like Rabbi Natan Rosh Hashanah? Is he trying to describe a new entity called Iker Yishuv? But the Rambam Hilchos Trumos is pretty clear. What does the Rambam say in Hilchos Trumos? At least he seems to be pretty clear. He doesn't say anything about Gittin. What does he say? Right, he says nothing about Gittin whatsoever. But what does he say in Hilchos Trumos? Well, the first part of Hilchos Trumos is all about the Geder of Eretz Yisrael. And I'll just read one part of it. Ezeu Eretz Yechziko Ole Mitzrayim. What are the borders of the land that was settled by Ole Mitzrayim? Right? Reasonable question, no? Me'rekem ad yom ha'gadol. Me'rekem b'mizrach ad yom ha'gadol. Me'ashkel m'darom ad Akko shubetzafon. Where did the Rambam get this from? In Hilchos Trumos, when the Rambam wants to say, where are the gevulot of Ole Mitzrayim? Let's remember the nafkamina of the gevulot of Ole Mitzrayim for a moment. Let's recap Jewish history according to the Rambam. Originally, there was no chiyuv Trumos or Maisos in Shemitah at all. I'm recapping Jewish history without getting into too many halachic details. You want to know what to do halachal maisa. In many cases, that's more complicated. But let's recap Jewish history the way the Rambam portrays it in most places. Originally, the Jews were in bondage in Egypt. and there was no Trumas or Maisos in Shemitah. Then Yoshua brought them in, and eventually they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and the whole Gvulos only Mitzrayim, into a right set of the Zachi of Trumas or Maisos in Shvias. Then they went to Golos Bavel, and there was no more Chi of Trumas or Maisos in Shvias. And then they came back under Ezra and etc. and re-sanctified, or Mekadesh, a smaller area called Gvulos Oli Bavel, and in that smaller area, there was a Chi of Trumas or Maisos in Shvias Bidor Raisa. And in the bigger year of Oli Mitzrayim, there were Gozer, Trumas Maestro, and Shvias Bidrabanan. So, where's the board of this Gzeir Drabanan of Oli Mitzrayim, which was once the Raisa, right, till Maes Rishon, and now is Drabanan? Where are the borders of those areas? It says from Rechem to the sea and from Yaakov to Ashkelon. Where did he get these borders from? Mehechitesi, where did he find these borders? Don't tell me the Safri. The Safri sounds, if you notice in the Ramban, the Ran, sounds like maybe these are borders of Oli Bavel. And you have to say, no, that's not exactly what it means. Where did he get this from? There's only one candidate. Where did he get this from, Liad? From Yerihud and our Mishnah. There is no place else in all of Chazal where it says there are borders from Rechem in the east and Akko in the north and Ashkelon in the south. And obviously you don't have to say the Mediterranean in the west. That goes without saying. There's no place else in Chazal where they give these borders. He's quoting the exact Lashon of our Mishnah. In what context is he quoting the exact lesson of our Mishnah? In trying to define, our Mishnah is the definition of Gvula Oli Mitzrayim. For the Rambam, it's Barur that our Mishnah is describing the Gvula Oli Mitzrayim. There's no two ways about it. Right? He says, Ezo Erechech Zikova Oli Mitzrayim. From Rechem to Ashkelon to Akko, etc. And then, etc. Right? And then he says, Rebbe is Mater Ashkelon, meaning Ashkelon is outside. Okay, that's our Mishnah. Ashkelon is outside. Mestana, Akko, and Rechem are also outside. You know, he didn't say whether the borderline city is inside or outside, but it doesn't matter, right? If Ashkelon is outside, the rest could also be outside. It fits our Mishnah. There's no other choice unless you come up to me, you find some new manuscript and, you know, in Geniza in Afghanistan someplace, you know, with a different Gersa, you know, in the Yerushalmi Trumos or something that has a marker for the Rambam. The Rambam's only markers are Mishnah. And forget whether or not his markers are Mishnah. It matches, right? The Rambam says, Akko, Ashkelon, and Rechem are the Gvulos of Ole Mitzrayim. So, says the Rambam, Gvulos Ole Mitzrayim. Okay, that is very pashut. That's the Rambam thinks about our Mishnah. Now, is it totally pashut to everyone? So, there are those who who try to deny it. In the Radvaz, he like throws out as a second possibility here that maybe. It's just because they're rachok b'makom hayishov like Tosfos. One second, hold on. So the Radvaz suggests in his first answer, says in Halacha Zayin, maybe it's just for gittin purposes they're like outside Eretz Yisrael. But really, they're inside Eretz Yisrael, like the reed, they're far from the Iker Yishuv. But that's a little hard to read into the Rambam, and even the Ravaz himself later on gives another option. And he says, Tzarech lomer detrei Ashkelon havu. Okay, you have to say there are two Ashkelons and there's two halves of Akko, meaning he gives a different answer. So the Radvaz wants to try to deny this. Okay, I don't even know why I mentioned it. The Radvaz tries to deny it and says, the Rambam didn't really mean that Ashkelon is chutz from Gvulos Oli Mitzrayim, and that Akko is outside of Gvulos Oli Mitzrayim, and that Rechem is outside of Gvulos Oli Mitzrayim. No, he didn't really mean our Mishnah is telling you the Gvulos Oli Mitzrayim. Our Mishnah is just telling you they're far from the Iker Yishuv. But then it works out very ugly. Because then what does the Rambam mean here? The Rambam has to mean that up till Ashkelon is that Ashkelon and inside is the Gvulos Olim Mitzrayim. The border city of Ashkelon, okay. Let's give the Radvaz his, even though again he retracts a little later. So this is in Halacha Zayin and in Halacha Tes, he retracts and says there are two Ashkelons. Let's give the Radvaz a chance to say that the Rambam is not being so sure the Mikra. So let's just put this over here. The Rambam clearly views our Mishnah as Gvulos Olei Mitzrayim. What's the problem? The problem is the Psukim. The Psukim say Ashkelon is inside. The Psukim say Akko is inside. What is the Rambam going to do with the Psukim? What's the Rambam going to do with the Psukim? So, could be there's two possibilities brought here. The Radvaz on Halacha Tes says something the Ram says, right? We already mentioned this in the Ram. The Ram brought up this possibility in Aleph Tes, and the Ram here says, Trey Ashkelon, Havu. There were two Ashkelons. One Ashkelon is inside the borders of the Mitzrayim. That's the biblical Ashkelon. And then there is the Ashkelon in the Mishnah, which is a different Ashkelon, which is outside the borders of the Mitzrayim. Okay, it's a little dachuk. The other option is also a little dachuk, is the Kesef Mishnah. Says the Kesef Mishnah. He says, Ashkelon, Chetzio, Be'eretz Yisrael, V'chetzio b'chutz la'aretz. Where does he get that idea? If Yerushalmi says it in Akko, maybe it's also true of Ashkelon. So, I understand it's with a dochak that they get these to be the borders of Olam Mitzrayim. What are the Radvaz try to do at first? At first, he tries to say that, and here it gets a little ugly, but we'll give it a try. Okay, I know I'm setting prejudice against it. He says, no, really, Ashkelon is Al Hagvul and Bifnim. That matches the Chumash. But for Gittin purposes, the border city still needs to say Funny Nefta. Aval L'inyan Gittin Hechmiru Al Arei Hagvul Lehatzrich Amiras. This is going to be important Rosh Hashanah that will be useful for us all at least half the year. Funny neftam. Okay, he wants to sort of like mix a little re in here. He says, really, it's the borderline, it's the inside of the borderline. But for Gittin purposes, there are machmer that cities on the borderline, even if they're inside, have to say funny neftam, because if they're on the borderline, they're far from the from the Iker Yishuv. But he says that doesn't work. Okay, well, I don't even know why. Okay, I regret putting this Radvaz, because in Halacha Tes, the Rambam says explicitly, Akko is chutz la'aretz ka Ashkelon. Akko and Ashkelon are chutz la'aretz. So, I'm going to apologize. He tried. This is why he changed his mind to Halacha Tes. He tried to say, Akko and Ashkelon are really inside Eretz Yisrael. And what's going on in our Mishnah? Why does it say they're outside? They're inside, but since they're on the border, they're far from the Kedusha, they made them outside. But it doesn't work, because the Rambam says explicitly that Akko and Ashkelon are chutz la'aretz. Where does he get that from? He gets that from our Mishnah, right? What does the Rambam say? That the borders of Olei Mitzrayim are Akko, Ashkelon, and Rekem. And in Halacha Tes, he says that Akko and Ashkelon are in chutz la'aretz. That's exactly our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Ashkelon is like south, Akko is like the north. Okay. The Radvaz tried to do something until he got to Halacha Tes. In the end, it's going to be a little stuck. How can Ashkelon be outside borders of Olam Mitzrayim and Akko be outside borders of Olam Mitzrayim if the Navi says they conquered them? So either different Ashkelon and different Akko, or you have to say Akko is half in, half out, and Ashkelon is half in, half out. Okay. And Rekem is a little easier because Rekem is not mentioned in the Navi. And Rashi says Rekem is a translation of Kadesh. But even so, that's not so hard because there are a gazillion different places named Kadesh in the Middle East in the time of the Tanakh. So that's why it doesn't bother them as much. So the Rambam, I know we're going to have to be nidchak what to do with Akko and Ashkelon. But the Rambam Shita is very clear. Now, I just want to ask one simple question. The what? Okay, there are three shitas as to what our Mishnah is talking about. Right, the Tam says our Mishnah is telling you the Gevulas of Olei Bavel. Why? Because that's where Jews lived in the days of Chazal. The Ri says, no, our Mishnah teaches you the Iker place Jews lived in the time of Chazal. And the Rambam says our Mishnah teaches you Gevulas Olei Mitzrayim, where the Jews lived in the time of David HaMelech. No, or before David HaMelech. Okay, Misvara, which shita is difficult? What?
Rambam.
The Rambam, because they lived there in the time of Bayis Rishon, what's that have anything to do with the Takana Drabanan? And if you say, well, they just used Kedush Taretz, but it's not Kedush Taretz, right? If you're going to say they went with Kedush Taretz as a little plug, like Rabbeinu Tam, but it's not Kedush Taretz. If you're going to say they went with where the Jews didn't live there. So where did the Rambam come up with this idea? How did the Rambam come up with this Shita? Right, okay. The Ran also, at very first, mentioned maybe the two Ashkelons like gave some opening to this, but that wasn't his real Shita. The Rambam has a strange Shita. Why did the Rambam come up with this Shita? So I'd like to answer, probably by now we can all answer, why did the Rambam come up with this Shita? I want to say, the Rambam's Shita say in the famous series of Rambams that the Rav pointed out in the name of his father. Right, the Rav quoted his father. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, I think, published it first. He published an article many decades ago. And then, when they published all the Rav notes in this Urim, it's in all the Rav's firm as well. And they even have it. It's one line. I didn't put them, of course, in the Chedusha Ram HaLevi. So Chedusha Ram HaLevi, like one line, he is merames to this. So you see it in the Ksavim of Moshe himself, not just quoted by his kids. Although, really, just a very, very quick remez. The Rambam says something very strange. What does the Rambam say that's strange? And really, what starts the Rambam here is Hilchas Sanhedrin. Says the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, we all know you can only give smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, Ein som kuzikene b'chutz l'aretz, etc. V'chol Eretz Yisrael she'echziko ba'olim mitzrayim ru'uya l'smicha. All of Eretz Yisrael that's within the borders that only Mitzrayim settled is right for smicha. It means the get of Eretz Yisrael, the Inyan smicha, even though the get of Eretz Yisrael, the Inyan shumas or maestros, and shvias midorais says only bavel, the get of Eretz Yisrael, the Inyan smicha, is gulos only Mitzrayim. Where did the Rambam get this from? We're not exactly sure. What did the Menachas Chinuch say? The Menachas Chinuch said, if you'll allow me to translate him into English, he said, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. He said, since when do we care about Gvulos Olei Mitzrayim? Let's remember how we paskin, the Rambam says time and time again, Kedusha Rishona, the first Kedusha of the Olei Mitzrayim, Kedusha L'Shata, V'lo Kedusha L'Asid Lavo, it doesn't exist anymore. Kedusha Shniya, Kedusha L'Shata, V'Kedusha L'Asid Lavo. Kedusha Shniya is around. What is Gvulos Olei Mitzrayim? So the Menachas Chinuch says it doesn't make any sense. And he quotes a Kesa Mishnah, which he can't really make sense of, which I also can't make sense of. Says then he just said dvar temuim. Okay, maybe that's because vader ram matzav is a makor v'nachlu neda. Maybe the ram had a makor we don't know. Right? He says it's very mysterious. Where did the Rambam get this idea? We have no idea where the Rambam got this idea from. So the Rambam already, you know, this is a very foolish Rambam. The Rambam says something surprising. The Menachas Chinuch has no idea where he possibly could have gotten this from. Mehechi Tesi, how could you say that Eretz Yisrael le'inyan Trumas or Maestros and Shvias is the Gvulos Olei Bavel? The Kedusha is only Olei Bavel. But for Smicha, it's all of the Gvulos Olei Mitzrayim. Where did the Rambam get this idea from? So, we can perhaps suggest a theory as to where the Rambam got this idea from. What? Maybe that would be a little far. Okay, now I'm going to repay a debt. Who do I owe this debt to? Not to you guys. But to whoever was here in the summer. Right? I said I would get back to something. Now I'm going to get back to it. I said it's Horius. Right? Where might the Rambam gotten this from? So, does anyone have the expanded Makoros? What? No. The Morty's Makoros. Anyone have Morty's Makoros printed out? Okay, you have the Parish Mishnayos there? Yes, okay, sorry. I apologize, okay. The Rambam, the Parish Mishnayos in Bechoros, yes, this is for those who are not always sitting in the base medrash, well, Morty, or Aaron Vitoris Morty, puts together each time. He puts all the Makoros, like, in one, like, PDF and emails it out. If you want them, you can just ask him to add you to his list. Every single base meter is not so necessary, because all the ones that there aren't a billion copies on my foot there anyway. But what if they're on the same tier size as Makoros, which is about Smicha? He says, you need to get Smicha in Israel. Right? Why? Why do you need to get Smicha in Israel? Because only in Eretz Yisrael they call the Kahal. Apparently, Smicha needs to be from a Kahal. Okay, he doesn't explain how we know that Smicha needs to be an expression of a Kahal, but that's not so crazy. After all, what is Smicha? Smicha is a position of communal leadership, so it needs to be from the community. And he says that Hashem Krom Kol HaKahal, Afilo Yisar Chadim, even there's only a bare minion in Eretz Yisrael, they are called the entire Kahal Yisrael. And the Jews in Chutzlarts are not part of the Kahal. Like we explained in Horios. Okay, the Rambam gives us an interesting clue here. Thank you. He says, somehow, Smicha, again, he's not talking about Gvulos here, right? We're putting things together. He says, Smicha needs to be in Israel, because in Israel they're a Kahal. How do we know Israel is called a Kahal? Because of Horios. What did it say in Horios? Okay, those here for the summer. Bring back all our fond memories of Horios. The what did it say in Horios Daf Gimel? It says only if Rove of the Kahal sins, right? He used the word Kahal, the Asu Kol HaKahal, or the Asu HaKahal, sorry. Who counts as a Kahal? Kahal Sheba Eretz Yisrael, like we call. Kahal Sheba Chotzal Yisloik, you call. Why? It says, Vayash Shlomo Es Hechad, etc., etc. Kahal Kehal Yisrael, Milavo Chamat, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim. Right? Shlomo brought all of Kahal Yisrael in. Who's all of Kal Yisrael? From Levo Hamat to, where's Levo Hamat? Like Lebanese border someplace, Lebanon. From Levo Hamat to Nachal Mitzrayim, where's Nachal Mitzrayim? It's also controversial. But let's say Eretz Yisrael. Is it Vadi? Probably Vadi El Arish. Some people want to say it's the Nile. Right, from Vadi El Arish till Lebanon, what we call Lebanon. Levo Hamat ad Nachal Mitzrayim. He brought all the Kal Yisrael together. What about the Jews in Chutz Laretz? So they're not part of Kal Yisrael. So what do we see? That even though Jews in Chutz Laretz as individuals are very holy, B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, and we love them very much, but to ask where the Kahal is in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laretz, the Jews are individuals, the Kahal is in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ram says, just like by Horius, the Kahal is in Eretz Yisrael, Smicha is also an expression of Kahal. Okay, that's the Rambam's Chiddush, but it's Mistaber, it's common sense. Smicha, we know Horius is an expression of Kahal, because the Pasuk is Kahal. How do we know Smicha is an expression of Kahal? Does it say the word Kahal by Smicha? I mean, it does, like, a little later on in that parsha in the Torah, but not necessarily directly connected. In Pinchas, it does say it nearby, but the round takes me Smara. Smicha is an expression of the Kahal. Okay, now, here's where we get something interesting. What?
It doesn't have the same borders.
Oh, give me a second. Give me a second. Now, here's the interesting question. Levo Hamat ad Nachal Mitzrayim. Which borders are Levo Hamat ad Nachal Mitzrayim? Which borders are Levo Hamat ad Nachal Mitzrayim? Only Bavel or only Mitzrayim?
Mitzrayim.
Only Mitzrayim. What was Levo Hamat ad Nachal Mitzrayim? Again, I'm not going to go to the map right now. But it's obvious to all of us that, in context, Levo Hamat ad Nachal Mitzrayim was the kingdom of Shlomo. Right, that was the kingdom of Shlomo, right? Not where he was rodeh at some places, but his actual country was Levochem and Anach Mitzrayim. Meaning Levochem and Anach Mitzrayim is the borders of only Mitzrayim. So let's go to Horios. In Horios, let's remember what Horios is. We're in Ohel this summer, right? If you remember, but we all learned the Chumash. In the Chumash, it says, right, Vayikra Perak Dalet, right, in Kol Kahal Yisrael. I'm called Adas Shel Yishgu. If all the Jews do an Avera that's Chayiv Kares bit Shogeg, based on a mistaken ruling of Bez Din HaGadol, that the Torah Shel Peh fills in, then they have to bring this Chatas called Parhel and Darvashel Tzibur. Okay, who counts as all means most? That more is very clear. How do you count most? You only count the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Which borders of Eretz Yisrael count for the purpose of Parhel and Darvashel Tzibur? So here the Menchas Chinuch is L'shitase. Says the Menchas Chinuch on the page here, he says, in the Gemara, they use the example of Lochamat and Nachamat Mitzrayim. What that means is that in the time of Bayis Rishon, they would count all the Jews from the Vochamat and Nachamat Mitzrayim, and if most of them did the sin, then they would bring a par, and if most of them did not do the sin, then they would not bring a par. But he says it's obvious that in the time of Bayit Sheni, they would only count the Jews from Kziv Adamana, from wherever the boundaries that it says, other places, of Olei Bavel. Right? They'd only count the Jews within Olei Bavel. And then so the Gemara used an example of Olei Mitzrayim, because it was a passing from Bayit Rishon. In Bayit Sheni, meaning quote-unquote nowadays, right, or you know, when the proto-Mishnah was written, let's say, they would use the borders of, or, you know, if we rebuild the base of Mikdash nowadays, and the Kiddush is only in the was only Bavel, was lost in Bavel. So then we'd use the borders of Olei Bavel. The Min Chassinus L'Shitas say only the borders of Olei Bavel are halachically relevant. That's the Min Chassinus L'Shitas say. However, the Rav...
Rabbi,
yes?
Why do you use the Pasuk Kahal to measure it?
Hmm?
Kahal is also learned, Kahal Gadol, made from something from Parak Rishon and Sefer Ezra. It's also called Kahal.
Uh-huh.
According to him, he should have quoted from Ezra.
But maybe it doesn't say where they, that's a good point. But maybe because it doesn't explicitly say where they live, that's why he didn't quote it. Efshir, you could say. So let's just look for a moment. What does the Or Sameach say? So the Or Sameach says, and if you actually looked up the Yerushalmi with that, I don't know who the Gilead Ephraim is, just someone in the back of the Yerushalmi. He points out that there are different Yersos in the Yerushalmi. Whether it's Re'iyah, who's Chayiv and Olas Re'iyah, right, Yerach al-Zachorcha in the Regel, Ola Ali the Regel, or whether it's Horaya. But let's assume we have the Gersa of Horaya, which is a very reasonable Gersa, right? So says the... says the Or Sameach, he says Reish Lakish in the Yerushalmi says, for Hora we go by Levo Chamata Nachum Mitzrayim. Reish Lakish was just talking about B'zman Hazeh. He wasn't talking about the days of Bayis Rishon. So the Min Chaschinuch would probably say, either change the Gersa, he wasn't talking about Hora, he was talking about Olam Re'iyah, although it wouldn't help so much. The Min Chaschinuch would say, no, he was also talking about Bayis Rishon. What do you mean B'zman Hazeh? When Reish Lakish was alive, there was no parakel and dover of anything because there was no Beis HaMikdash. Right? So, but the Or Sameach says no. Right? And this is, the Or Sameach says that Reish Lakish in the Yerushalmi says that you go by the borders of Olei Mitzrayim to define the Kahal for purposes of Hora. And then the Rambam makes perfect sense. If the Rambam looked at the Yerushalmi and saw that Parhelim Dover, what we call Hora, goes by the borders of Olei Mitzrayim because the Kahal is defined by the borders of Olei Mitzrayim, then add the Rambam Pirish Mishnayis Bechoros, since Smicha is also an expression of Kahal. Smicha also depends on the borders of Olei Mitzrayim, and the Rambam makes a lot of sense, and I think this really is Meduyik in the Rambam, because if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shgagos by Parhelim Dover, he says Eretz Yisrael. And here this is going to be so, the Rav took this so to its logical conclusion. According to the Rambam, that the words Eretz Yisrael, what do they mean? Do they mean Olei Bavel or Olei Mitzrayim? So, at least if you look in Trumos Perek Aleph, what does the Rambam say? There is a nice summary. He says, "Kol ha'olam l'nimitzvos hatluyos ba'arth nechlekas the gimel machlokos." There are three parts of the world: Eretz Yisrael, Surya, and Chutz Laretz. The Eretz Yisrael nechlekas the shnayim. Kol shechziko olei bavel is chelik aleph. Kol shechziko olei mitzrayim belvad chelik sheni. The Rambam's nomenclature is very clear. He says, Eretz Yisrael means all of Eretz Yisrael, the whole Gvulus of Olei Mitzrayim. Within Eretz Yisrael, there's two parts. There's the Olei Bavel part of Eretz Yisrael, and then there's the only Olei Mitzrayim, but not Olei Bavel part of Eretz Yisrael. But the Rambam's lashon of Eretz Yisrael, the way he defines it in Hilchos Trumos, is that it includes the borders of Olei Mitzrayim. And therefore, if you look at the Rambam Hilchos Shgagos, where he says, Par Helim Dover, you can't rove Toshve Eretz Yisrael, Lachor, the Or Sameach, and the Rav are right, and the Minchas Chinuch wrong. That would include the Gvulus Olei Mitzrayim. So let's look at this Rambam for a moment. Shitas HaRambam. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam's very clear about a few things. He says, Kedusha le'inyan trumos u'maisros and shvius min ha'Torah is only in the borders of Olei Bavel. That's the Kedusha Shnia, which is the only Kedusha that lasts forever. But the Rambam's very clear that smicha depends on the borders of Olei Mitzrayim. That the Rambam's very clear. And where did he get it from? you take the Rambam Bechoros, who learned that you need Israel for Smicha from the fact that only a call is in Israel, and a call in Israel from Horios, so it seems a good conclusion to the Rambam, right? That for Horios, meaning Parah and Dover, it also sounds like he's using the board as Ole Mitzrayim, and that's where, since the Pairs for Science Bechoros connects them, maybe that was where he got Smicha from. Maybe he started from the Yerushalmi and Horios, right? Alpi the Yerushalmi, because what does the Yerushalmi say? That Reish Lakish says, you go by the Levoch HaMatzah Nachum Mitzrayim. Sounds like, even if it's you go by the borders of Olam Mitzrayim. So he learned that in Horios and Yerushalmi. Then, because he thought that Horios depended on Kahal and Smicha, depended on Kahal, he learned to Smicha also. Already the Rambam has a pattern of saying there are halachos that depend on the borders of Olam Mitzrayim and not the borders of Ole Bavel. And now, you have some other diukim as well. The Ravs of Daik, how about Eglat Rufa? What does the Rambam say about Eglat Rufa? He doesn't say anything explicit. The only place he's explicit is by Smicha. But the Rambam says, all of Eretz Yisrael, you bring an Eglat Rufa and Chutzlaritz, including Ivar Yardin. Now the Rav here had an assumption. I'll admit it's an assumption. It's tremendous machlokes about this. Did Ole Bavel settle Ivar Yardin or not? The Rav assumed Oli Bavel didn't settle Ivar HaYarden, only Mitzrayim did. In which case, we have proof that Eglat Rufa applies in all the borders of Oli Mitzrayim. I admit that's based on an assumption. But you could also come to that same conclusion through a different, you could call it assumption as well, if you want. After all, the Rambam's Lashon is that Eglat Rufa is Noheg in Eretz Yisrael. We know the Rambam Hilchos Truma said Eretz Yisrael is two parts, the Ole Bavel part and the Ole Mitzrayim part. So if you just take this through, it sounds like if you take seriously the Rambam's relation that all of Eretz Yisrael includes also the parts of Ole Mitzrayim, not only the parts of Ole Bavel, then anytime the Rambam uses the word Eretz Yisrael, maybe, it means that. So you can add to this Egla Arufa, the Rav understood, right? Alpi what? Alpi Lashon Eretz Yisrael, and according to the Rav, because of Aver HaYarde, because the Rav assumed in Bayashani they didn't live in Aver HaYarde, although that's an assumption of his which is debated fiercely by all of the Achronim. Then you get to Kiddush HaChodesh as well, right? And Kiddush HaChodesh, here you have the Diuk of the Achronim. The Rambam says Kiddush HaChodesh should only be done in Eretz Yisrael. And then they all have a diuk. The Yerushalmi says, if there's no Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, you could do Kiddush HaChodesh in Chutz Laretz. Why? Because Yechezkel did Kiddush HaChodesh in Chutz Laretz. So they all ask, what do you mean Yechezkel did Kiddush HaChodesh in Chutz Laretz? In Yechezkel's days, there was no Eretz Yisrael. That's not a good proof, because there was no Kiddush in the Eretz. Kiddush Rishon was Batel. So what's the proof? So, maybe the Achronim say that no. In Kiddush HaChodesh, we don't go by the Kiddush of Truma Sermaisos. We go by Gvulos Ole Mitzrayim. There's still Gvulos Ole Mitzrayim in Cheskel's days, and that's why it's a good proof. So there are many other halachas in the Rambam where, how about Kiddush HaChodesh? And especially, it's Kiddush HaChodesh is also an expression of Kahal Lechora. It seems to me maybe in the whole Gvulos Ole Mitzrayim you could do Kiddush HaChodesh. Why? Al Pi Lashon Eretz Yisrael Stam. Plus the diuk from the Yerushalmi, Legabe Yechezkel. Again, the Yerushalmi says, well, Yechezkel, because there were no Gedolim in Israel, was allowed to be Kaddish in Chutz Laretz. Why didn't the Yerushalmi say he was allowed to be Kaddish in Chutz Laretz? Because there was no Israel then? That shows there wasn't Israel in days of Yechezkel. How? There was no Kedusha? No, must be. Gvulos Ole Mitzrayim counts as Eretz Yisrael, not for the purpose of Trumas or Maisos or Shvias, but for the purpose of Kiddush HaChodesh. And the truth is, if you go through all the Rambams, you know, how about the Rambam's Hilchos Melachim about how great Eretz Yisrael is? How you should always want to live in Eretz Yisrael, right? And how the Chacham would kiss Eretz Yisrael. There he says Eretz Yisrael. Maybe there also, right? What we call the Yeshiva V'chiba, right? In Hilchos Melachim. How about Yeshiva V'chiba? Here, also I think it's Mashma, the Gvulos of Ole Mitzrayim. Although my only Raya here is because he used the Lashon of Eretz Yisrael Stan. I don't have any other Raya. basically, the Rambam clearly has an agenda, right? Some of it is Pashat, some of it is Mashma. The Rambam has an agenda. What's the Rambam's agenda? To say that everything in the Gvulos of Olim Mitzrayim counts as Eretz Yisrael, even though the real Kedush Yisrael is only in the smaller Gvulos of Olim Bavel, Le'inyan, Trumas Ramaisa, and Shvigas Midoraisa. Again, I'm not going to count Eretz Yisrael button for our purposes now, because that could all, oh, that's just exciting. The Rav, how did the Rav express this? The Rav expressed this by saying there's Shame Eretz Yisrael and there is Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. What did the Rav mean by this? I think what the Rav meant by this is he was just trying to read the Rambam very simply. Why? If it comes to Kedusha, the Rambam says explicitly a few times, Kedusha Rishona is Batel. So what Kedusha is there now? Kedusha Shnia, that's only Gvulos Holy Bavel. The Gvulos Holy Bavel are Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But then there's Shame Eretz Yisrael. Why did the Rav call it Shame Eretz Yisrael? He quoted his father's calling it Shame Eretz Yisrael. I think because the Rambam Hilchos Trumos says the Rambam, the whole world is three parts: Eretz Yisrael, Surya, and Chutz La'aretz. And Eretz Yisrael has the Olim Bavel part and the Olim Mitzrayim part. Okay, so what's Shame Eretz? Shame Eretz Yisrael just literally means what does the Rambam call by the name Eretz Yisrael? The name Eretz Yisrael includes all of Eretz Yisrael, including all the Gvulos of Olim Mitzrayim. The Kedusha is only in the parts of Eretz Yisrael that have to do with the only bubble for Trumas or Maestro. So again, I'm going to have to add something here. I'm cheating a little by not adding everything. But that's the Rav's Kiddush. The Rav's not the only one to say it, right? Many other... the Rav's not the only one to say it. He's the only one to say it in those words, which I think are the words that are adding the least to the Rambam. The Rambam Taka did say the Shame Eretz Yisrael includes all the Gvulos Olim Mitzrayim. Says that's what's called Eretz Yisrael, right? Shame. And whenever the Rav discusses Kedusha, he says, oh, the Kedusha was Batel in the Gvulos Olim Mitzrayim. The only Kedusha in the Gvulos Olim Bavel. So the Rav really was, the Rambam really was Mechalik between Shame Eretz Yisrael and Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. Aaron.
I thought it was good, but now I'm going to see what I thought. In other words, it's a Kotaret in the Shulim on the Kala, so he says the Eretz and the Kotaret.
So the Rav says there's a third thing called Eretz HaNivcheret. That's interesting, right? Because what do we say? This I'm willing to get into this, but in maybe I will. But you know what? Let me come back to that. Okay? Let me come back to that. Let me finish this point and come back to it.
The one that we left out, the Rambam in Bate Ari Choma also quotes. And there certain definitely is a kind of Kedusha.
Correct. But the reason I'm leaving that out is not because it's not relevant at all. Everything's relevant at all. Is because there it's the Kedusha of the specific city. It's not of the whole country. Bate Ari Choma is not any border of the country. Each city has its own Kedusha. So therefore, I think that could be a different, I'm not saying unrelated, but a different chalos. Because keep in mind, Bate Ari Choma does not mean Pashtos. Oh, whatever the borders of Israel are, all the Ari Choma in there are Bate Ari Choma. No, there's a separate Kedusha to Bate Ari Choma. So I think that's a separate thing. I'm willing to leave that out of our discussion for now. I just want to point out one or two more things. So what do you find in the, first of all, I want to point out, now I think the Rambam, makes sense. Why does the Rambam make sense here in Gittin? Because the Rambam has a general shita, which we still have, we have 10 minutes left. We are going to explain it a little more sharply. But the Rambam has a general shita. He says, Kedusha Eretz Yisrael for Trumas or Maestros is only in the Gvulos of Olim Bavel. But Shame Eretz Yisrael, what's called Eretz Yisrael for general halachos, is the Gvulos of Olim Mitzrayim. Right? Basically, once they came in, and here I think it's pretty clear in the Rambam, it's not because of the Havtacha. It's because the Jews actually came in once. Once the Jews came in once and made this the Jewish state, it's the Jewish state forever. Right? The Gvulos Olim Mitzrayim are Shame Eretz Yisrael. If so, the Rambam said to himself, hold on, in Gittin. He didn't think of the Ri's idea. He didn't want to make a new Gedder. Right? And most people didn't think of the Ri's idea. No. It's some Gedder of Eretz Yisrael. Which Eretz Yisrael should they have used for the Takan of Gittin? The Gedder Eretz Yisrael of Kedusha or the Gedder Eretz Yisrael of Shame Eretz Yisrael? And he said to himself, what does Kedusha have to do with Gittin? Gittin is not a matter of Kedusha. Gittin is a matter of being in Eretz Yisrael, being in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, even though you'll tell me, well, Shame Eretz Yisrael is not necessarily directly relevant to the concerns of Lishma and Eidim Tzvi L'Kaimo, he knows that. But if they want to make Takana in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael means the Gvulos Olam Mitzrayim. That's the Shitas of Shem Eretz Yisrael. So, what I want to say is, we have to add one thing to the Rambam. That Gittin depends on the Gvulos of Olam Mitzrayim. And why is that? L'shitas say, what's the Svara? If you just ask, what's the Svara? The Svara, we explained, right? The Svara is, you know, L'shma versus Edim L'kayimo. What's the Svara? The Svara is L'shma or Edim L'kayimo. Oh, what's the difference between the Rebbe and the Rebbe? We gave three explanations, one of which I didn't like at all, one of which I did like, one of which in the middle. What's the Svara of the Rambam? The Svara is L'shitase D'shem Eretz Yisrael equals Gvulot Ole Mitzrayim V'takanos Chalot Al Shem Eretz Yisrael V'chotzlar. When they make a takana, they didn't make the takana and say, well, where do they know the Shema? No, they want to make a takana about the country. The country is Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha might be only in Gvulot Ole Mitzrayim. But the country of Eretz Yisrael is Ole Mitzrayim. Since there's nothing with Kedusha, it was obvious to them that this takana should be on the Shem Eretz Yisrael.
Maybe potentially you can even say further, that's a bit of a stretch. It's not just that Shem is more relevant than Kedusha, but Shem can actually be like specifically relevant insofar as Get could be a Maisa based in, and we're Megari Shadas, much of Yisrael. And the parameters we use for determining where is their smicha,
okay,
where is their avezdin.
In other words, maybe Get also has some kahal connection, yeah, which is yesh ladan al zeharbe, and maybe we will b'meshach hashanah. Okay, I'll leave that as a suggestion.
I'm on that, and maybe even if I'm attaching with the kedusha aspect, you could say one of two things. So one, that if anything given is very much kedusha / kedushas related, because that is, you know, Kiddushin is like Ekdish, and the Basedin is very much in charge of protecting that Kiddusha.
But not more Kiddusha oriented than Smicha, meaning, okay, maybe I have to define more what Kiddusha means, but, you know, if I'm right about these things, more Kiddusha oriented than Kiddusha Chodesh, it doesn't have to do with holy fruits.
No, but definitely, I don't think it sounds like when you're saying Shem Eretz Yisrael, it sounds like it's
kind of
based. It didn't
seem like... No, Shem Eretz Yisrael, for all purposes, except for the Kedusha of, Mitzvah Plugis Baretz, is Gvulos Olam Mitzrayim, since it says Mitzvah Plugis Baretz. Okay, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you can ask me again at 1 o'clock after I say a few more things. Morning, and then I'm going to need the next 5 minutes.
The whole thing bothered me. I mean, we're bringing all these halachic things, and all this, lishma or whatever, is not halachic at all. The Rabbanan put it in place to protect the woman. You can say it whatever you want. If the Eidim come within Eretz Yisrael, within Yerushalayim, they can also say it. What's it relevant to halachic concepts?
So I think here's what we're going to have to say. Again, this is what I said to Isaac or Liad before, that I think the general legal philosophy of Chazal is, I mean, this is basis of the Rav's idea. Rav Schechter likes to quote this Rav doctrine, the Rav's doctrine of Ke'in D'Oraisa Tikkun, that generally, when we make takanas, we try to fit them into pre-existing categories instead of making up new categories all the time. And that makes sense in legal philosophy. And I think here also, the Rambam says, the reset, they made the takana, they made a new category, they drew a new boundary, they made a new map for this particular takana. I mean, Tom says, no, they didn't make a new map for this takana, they used a pre-existing map. Why? Because it's always better in halacha to use pre-existing categories. So the Rambam agreed with the Rebbe of Tam pre-existing categories, but he said the category of Oli Bavel is not relevant here, because the category of Oli Bavel is only for Trumas, Ma'aser, and Shvius. It's not for, I am getting out of it, it's not for Gittin and Kiddush HaChodesh and Smicha. It's not for like communal takanas. And therefore, the Rambam, let's say, have no choice but to say they want to use a pre-existing category. The only good pre-existing category that fit, conceptually, not practically. And you'll tell me, Rabbi Bednarsh, do you think when Chazal made takanas, they tried to fit them in conceptually, and sometimes that was more important than practically figuring out what would be the greatest utility in every case? I'll say yes. If you don't know that by now, then where have you been? If you don't like that, you're welcome to go to a different shir. But that's what I learned indirectly from the Rav. So that's what I'm going to say here. Now, let me just end. I have 5 minutes. I'm going to need these 5 minutes. Then you can ask me questions from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock. No problem. From here till 1 o'clock to Michelle Gaddish Baruch, who afterwards is from you. Invert the Gemara from last year. What is the status of... One thing is very, very, very clear. What's very clear? The Gvulos Ole Bavel are what's called Kedushas Haaretz. There's a phrase like that. Question is, what is the status of Gvulos Ole Mitzrayim? Right? What about Ma'amad Shel Gvulos Ole Mitzrayim? And here, I think we have different ways. The Maharit says, Maharit's very fascinating. You should know this Maharit was brought up in Israeli politics a little, 14 years ago. The Maharit's Shaila was, you know what it says in Ksubas, HaKol Malon Le'Eretz Yisrael, right? The husband can force his wife to move to Eretz Yisrael. There was a court case. The husband in Egypt wanted to force his wife to move back to his ancestral home in Gaza. And the wife says, I don't want to go to Gaza. That is the politics. The wife wanted to live near her mother. And the husband wanted to bring her to Gaza because his father is moving to Gaza, and that's where their ancestral estate was, you know, for like a couple doors. So the Maharit asked, can he bring her up to Gaza or not? And what's the problem with Gaza? It's inside the Gvulot of Ole Mitzrayim, clearly, but it's outside the Gvulot of Ole Bavel, right? The by Cheney, they did not conquer Gaza. Maybe the Chashmonaim for like a day and a half once did, but not Lo Ritzini. So, and the Maharit Paskin says outside the Gvulot of Ole Bavel, it's not Eretz Yisrael. It's Kechutzlar, it's the whole Dover. Some people back in 2004 quoted this Shut Maharit. What are you complaining about Gaza for? You know, it's not even Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I don't know why they didn't quote the Kafir of Farah. I mean, I know why. Because in politics, you quote what's convenient for you. Right, that's the difference between politics and Torah, right? In politics, you quote what's convenient for you, and in Torah, you try to figure out the truth. You'll ask me sometimes. There are people who are talking Torah and quote what's convenient for them. All right, reach the conclusion on your own. Now, but what does the Maharit say? Kechutzlor, it's the chol davar. He says Gaza is chutzlor, it's chol davar. And they're very possibly they stayed in Mitzrayim. The woman doesn't have to go to Israel. I don't know what happened then. Maybe the husband went, they got divorced. He didn't say the human interest part of the story, he didn't continue. But he says she doesn't have to follow her husband to Gaza because Gaza is no better than Toronto. They're both chutzlor, it's the chol davar. The Minchas Chinuch certainly leans in that direction of kechutzlar etz l'chol davar. He doesn't say explicitly, but he's certainly pushing in that direction. So, on the one hand, you have the Maharit and maybe the Minchas Chinuch, who's like continually pushing kechutzlar etz l'chol davar.
Even the Rambam here. Rambam Ashkelon did
that. What? Because the Rambam holds Ashkelon is outside the borders of Ole Mitzrayim. Ashkelon, okay. That is a good point, and I'm not going to answer that. That technically, you've tripped me up here. You haven't tripped me up. You have to ask what the Maharit's going to say about that. Rambam, okay. Let's assume that he'll deal with it. Okay. On the other hand, Rabosai. On the other hand, the Radvaz says that the one in Hilchos Trumos, which is in brackets, it's kadosh for many things, just not for some things. And the Kaftar of Perach says, Kaftar of Perach famously, he was a couple hundred years before the Maharit, Rabbi Shtori of Parchi wrote, the only Rishon who wrote a Sefer, I think, the only Rishon who wrote a whole Sefer just about Eretz Yisrael, Kaftar of Perach, Rabbi Shtori of Parchi, in around 1300 and a little, he writes that it's totally like Eretz Yisrael, except for the mitzvos haklu yusba. That matches the idea of the Rav. That it is shemir. It's Eretz Yisrael. It's certain mitzvos. It doesn't have kedusha, and those are two fundamentally different ways of. Oh, actually, sorry. I meant to add one other thing. The Tashbetz. I apologize. Okay, I'm not gonna have time for everything. I'll have to add a nispach next time. Okay, the Tashbetz had an interesting thing. Says the Tashbetz, he says it has kedusha shechina, but not kedusha mitzvah. It's beloved to us and holy, even though it doesn't have special mitzvos. Right? This seems to match this Peshat of the Ramban. Right? The Tashbetz, maybe the Ramban, says Kedusha Shechina, meaning it is holy, the low Kedushas Mitzvos, but not halachic. You know, okay, we know Kedushas Mitzvos. It's holy. We love it. We kiss it. You want to move there. It's very special. You want to be buried there. That was part of his Shiloh there. But doesn't have Kedushas Mitzvos. Not for halachic purposes. Just for, like, purposes of chiba and yeshiva, not for purposes of having more mitzvos. However, that's not Pshan the Rambam. Pshan the Rambam and the Kaftar Referach and the, who else did I just quote, the Radvaz in Hilchos Trumos, which I think was in brackets. They said, no, it's even kadosh for mitzvos. Chutz, me, or it's Kedusha Gemura. Kadosh, chutz, mi, mitzvos, hatluyos ba'aretz. That's the phrase of the, we're not going to read it inside. That's the phrase of the Kaftar Ferach, the Rebazig Zephyr Sub Mitzvos. I just want to end with one question of, and here, okay, I'm going to even have to argue on something my Rebbe said once, which I try to avoid doing, or at least not do more than once a year. But what's pshat in the Rambam? If you would say the Marit and the Minchas Chinuch, that would make perfect sense. There's only Kedushin, Gvulos, Holy Bavel, everything else not Kodesh, it's Chutzlaretz. What's the problem? If you would want to say like the Tashbetz and the Ramban, that also makes sense. It has no extra halachic obligations or mitzvos, but it's still like holy because Hashem promised the Avraham Avinu and says the Holy Land, like Ayin Sefer Kuzari, right? It's metaphysically holy. And the metaphysical holiness means we should love it and want to live there. But not that it actually has special dinim that apply to it. But if you want to say like Pshat of the Rambam, no, Shem Eretz Yisrael, right? Shem Eretz Yisrael means it does have, what is Shem Eretz Yisrael? It has lots of special mitzvos. What does Kedusha mean? Mitzvos, it has all the special mitzvos. Just not mitzvot Tlius Ba'aretz. Why is that? And here I think you can have two formulations. The one formulation is, although I'll tell you why I think it's wrong, but so far in the board it could work, is separate the sort of, is I don't mean, I would say, I'm going to say here political from ritual, but I don't mean political secular. I mean religious political, meaning Kiddush HaChodesh is political, right? Meaning it has to do with setting your calendar for your nation so that you can coordinate with each other. Smicha is political. I mean religious political. I'm not interested in secular. There are no secular politics here, right? Religious political. It's about who gets to judge people, right? In terms of being the political homeland of the Jewish people, what the Avnei Nezer said that I put here, he said this beautiful idea, right? Why are we a Kol and Eretz Yisrael? Because in Eretz Yisrael, we're all unified. We have Arvus. We only have Arvus when we enter Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael makes us a polity, which literally is like a goof, right? Eretz Yisrael is what makes gives us our... Eretz Yisrael, on the one hand, is our homeland, what makes us a Jewish people and a religious Jewish people, not secular Jewish people. Kiddush HaChodesh is an expression of our peoplehood. Smicha is an expression of our peoplehood. Egla Rufa is an expression of our peoplehood. Par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur is an expression of our peoplehood. Takanas of Gittin are an expression of our peoplehood. As opposed to having to do extra mitzvos. Extra mitzvos, that's the Kiddush of Olei Bavel. That's how... I know my Rabbi Rosenzweig, when he likes to say over this rub, that's how he likes to say it. So if you take, let's put this into the rubs, really, let's get his father, right? Let's just give me 3 seconds to finish up this thought. What is the difference? What is the difference? One way of reading the difference is that it has to do with peoplehood versus a peoplehood versus, I would say extra mitzvos, but versus, extra mitzvos for Hashem. Right, what we call mitzvot tluyos ba'aretz. You don't have to do extra mitzvos are only the kedusha. Kedusha means now you have to do extra mitzvot the gulos oli bavel. You want to know, now that we have to do extra mitzvos, what counts as an expression of our peoplehood for pre-existing mitzvos? Okay, this would make a lot of sense, except that I skip one marker. This makes perfect sense. Yes, this is what Rabbi Rosenzweig likes to say. He says, Shem Eretz Yisrael means where we express our religious peoplehood. And where we do communal things. Has to do with being a kohal, as the Rambam says. Has to do with being a ke'ish echad, a corporate entity, as the Avnei Nezer said that was on the sheet of brackets. You want to know when we have to do extra mitzvahs for Hashem? That's only when it has special kedusha obligates that. That's only klus oli bavel. I have one problem with that. What's the one problem with that? The Rambam Pirush Mishnayis Chala. What does the Rambam say in Pirush Mishnayis Chala? He says, within the borders of Oli Mitzrayim. I apologize. Give me 3 seconds. He says, He Eretz Yisrael Shechziko Oli Mitzrayim V'lo Neskachiv Me Ezra. The parts that are in Gvulos Oli Mitzrayim, not Gvulos Oli Bavel. Chayav Ashtei Chalot. Achat Nitzref Me Shechum Vei Yishal Shira Lefishu Min HaTorah. Sh'ner Mar V'Avkuch HaMilech HaAretz. Oh, he says Min HaTorah. The Rambam just says that Chala is Midor Reis and the Gvulos Oli Mitzrayim. Chad V'Chalak, Perish Mishnayis. Both Gersas. I checked in the Vilna Shas. I checked in the Rav Kafach. He says Chala. Now, Chala is not an expression of Jewish peoplehood. Right? It's not political. Chala is. So then... Okay, Old Man Skolumi. We'll have to... You know what? I'll leave you in a little suspense. I want you to now figure out why it... You will figure it out. It's not so hard. I'm not, you don't even cheat by looking in the Reb Chaim and Hilchos Trumos. Even if you tried to cheat, you won't find it. There's so many of them. But let's leave that as a tzarich ion for next time. And I also wanted to get back to Eretz HaNivcheret. So I'll just be mashlim to Nekudos on Thursday, Meretz Hashem. But that's why I think to say the difference in Shem Eretz Yisrael and Kedush Eretz Yisrael is political versus extra mitzvahs for Hashem is not going to fit the Rambam Pirush Mishnayis and Chala. Unless you want to say we don't hold like the Pirush Mishnayis Chala. He didn't explicitly say that in the Mishnah Torah. But he did not say it in the Mishnah Torah. So when it's time, he still agrees. So then you're going to have to ignore the Pirush Mishnayis and Chala. What if you want to accept the Pirush Mishnayis and Chala? We'll pick up with that, Amir Tzashem, on Thursday. And we'll mention briefly the idea of Eretz HaNivcheres and what that means. And then we'll go on, Amir Tzashem, in the Masechet.
Please send me an email at 1 second.